cold to tears.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today is February the 16th, and so because of it's the 16th, we're going to start in John chapter 16. Actually, we were going to start in John 16 no matter what the day was today, but I pray that all is going well in your world, and that Jesus is having his perfect way in your life, and he's working in you to make you a much better vessel for his glory and for his honor. And we are so thankful that he never stops working on us. Amen. And so today we're going to have our adult Bible study tonight. We're going to have our youth service on 7 o'clock as well. Would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. And we have a specific reason for existing, and that is we are blessed to be a blessing. A lot of people want to be famous for being famous. That interests me none. If the only thing that you have done is been famous all your life, that just doesn't really cut it for me. I'm just being honest. A lot of Christians just want to be blessed, and being blessed is fine, but there's got to be a purpose. And the reason that God blesses his children is because he wants to make them a blessing. I will bless you and make you a blessing. And we are thankful for the privilege that he gives us to be a blessing to him, to our families, to our church, to our community, and to the saints around the world. If you were to look at our building, you know, you'd probably have a thought like some of the churches that I've seen, and I see their name, and it's like, that name doesn't fit that building. But I will tell you, I do know this. We do not have huge numbers in our church. Probably one of the smaller churches on the radio, to be honest with you. Probably one of the smaller churches in Brevard County. But we have a global impact. And we are very, very thankful for the ability to be a blessing that God has given to us. We would love to be able to do more. And so if we can be a blessing to you, we would like to invite you to come to Merritt Assembly of God, because we not only want to be a blessing to you, but we want to see you blessed so you can be a blessing to people that we don't even know about. So that's where we are. John chapter 16 today, 7 o'clock tonight at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And I will look forward to seeing you there. John chapter 16, verse number 12. Jesus says this: I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. There's an interesting word here in verse number 13 that we want to get to in just a minute, but verse number 12 sets a prerequisite for that. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. One of the things that you need to take into consideration when you're evaluating God's timing and you think that he is too slow, and he's never too slow. Or sometimes you might think he's too fast, and he's never too fast. His timing is perfect. When Jesus came, it was described in Galatians as when the fullness of time had come. Here it says, Jesus says, I have many things that I still want to say to you, need to say to you, but you're not ready. You cannot bear them now. You can't handle it. And when I think of that, I'm thankful that I did not have math teachers that were trying to teach me calculus when I had not even learned addition. I had to build up a foundation of knowledge that would prepare me for future insight. Well, the same thing is happening with Jesus here and the disciples. He said, you've been with me for 3 years. You've heard me preach. You have seen me do signs and wonders. I have told you not only about where I came from, I've not only shown you what I do and how I speak and the process that I use, I have also equipped you for things in the future so that when you see them, you won't be caught off guard. And then on top of all of that, he says, but there's still so much to say. Can I entice you a little bit today with whether you are young or whether you are old, whether you are new to the faith or you have grown up in the church your entire life, I'm going to make a statement that I believe to be 100% factually true from the Word of God. Jesus still has a lot to say to you. The Bible talks about that it's going to take all of eternity for us to discover the many facets and fascinating attributes of this God that we love and serve and are on a journey to know. Now, it's not because God is slow. It's because he takes us on our faith journey with what we can handle. Now, a lot of times he will put us in positions and we say, God, I can't handle that. But I want to tell you this. He wouldn't have put you in that position if he didn't know that you could handle it, because God sets his people up to succeed, not to fail. The devil sets people up to fail and not to succeed. So trust God. And I pray that you will launch into your life journey with him and you say, God, what is it that I get the privilege of learning about you today? So Jesus knew that his time on earth in a physical body was coming to an end. So God the Son was getting ready to die on a cross, be raised again on the third day, and he was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. That's coming attractions from where we are in John chapter 16. And Jesus said, I want you to know that even though a transition is coming, I've already got a plan in place, and it involves God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, when he comes. Now, I will tell you that he came on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So the when that is talked about in John chapter 16 has already been fulfilled on a timeline basis back in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. But he will still operate with the same capacity. In verse number 13, he will still operate with that same element in your life and in my life today. And that is, when he comes into your life on a personal basis, he has a mission. And it is that along with truth, he's going to guide you into all truth. So along with truth comes the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it fascinating, or it is to me anyway, that the least trusted member of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit, if you don't believe me, you go start talking in churches and find out, you know, hey, you know, do y'all have freedom for the Holy Spirit to show up? And they say, well, not in this service, not in this service. You might hear, no, not ever. We believe that was for a bygone era, but it is not for us today. And a lot of people, and I've had this, I'm not saying that this is other churches. I'm telling you, I've actually heard people say it at Merit Assembly of God as well. And that is, oh, I pray that there's not a move of the Holy Spirit today because I invited some people and I don't want to be embarrassed. And the foundation behind that is that we don't trust the Holy Spirit to be the God who guides us into all truth. Okay? So I've heard of people who went and participated in drugs so that they could broaden their horizons. You know, they went and committed all sorts of sins so that they could push the envelope. Well, I will tell you that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who guides us from one level of truth to another level of truth. He's the guide. He's the one that knows everything. So I'm the type of person that if my wife and I are going on vacation and we take a guided tour someplace, I'm wanting to find out what the guy has to say or what the lady has to say, because they know things that I don't know. Is it okay if I admit that God, the Holy Spirit, knows things that I do not know and am not aware of? He not only knows factual things, he knows the coming attractions, if you will. He knows what I'm getting ready to face, and I do not know it. So, I don't know if I've told this story on the radio or not. I'm sure that I probably have, because it involves, you know, something back in the before 2010. My wife and or my family and I, we had passes, annual passes, and actually that was a different story. We used to go to amusement parks with our kids, and there was a roller coaster I'd never been on. This was Universal Studios, and we liked the Hulk and things like that. But there was also another one, and they've changed the name of it. We haven't been back to it since they changed the name. And the day that we went, we were getting ready to go on this roller coaster, and it's absolutely fascinating. Two roller coasters, and we get up there, and we wait in line, and we're just getting ready to get on the roller coaster, and they shut the ride down. They said there's rain in the area. We can't operate this with rain in the area. I don't know if there was lightning or whatever. They shut it down. A lot of people left. We're standing right there on the threshold. And they said, we don't know how long it's going to be shut down. Well, before some of those people could get to the next ride, they've already opened the ride back up. And it's like, hey, we're going to get to go on. And we get up to the top of the track, and it starts raining again. And I had my glasses off. The rain was pelting me in the eyes to the point that I could not keep my eyes open. So I'm on a roller coaster I've never been on before. I don't know where the hills are that are going up. I don't know where the declines are going down. I don't know where their twists are. I don't know if there's loop-de-loops or any of that sort of stuff. I'm just there, and I'm having to close my eyes. And it was one of the most enjoyable roller coaster rides I'd ever been on. You know why? I didn't know what was coming. But I had perfect confidence in the guidance of the person who had designed the track that they were going to get me back where I needed to be. Too many Christians say, until I know every detail, until I know every step of the journey, I'm not moving from here. I want to encourage you. The Christian journey is much more of an adventure than that. And when you know that the Holy Spirit's in charge of the journey, that guidance is going to be absolutely glorious. So we see that it's the Spirit of truth, and there's guidance that comes with that. He guides us into all truth. And here's what we know about him. He does not speak of his own authority. He speaks whatever he hears, and he tells you the things to come. Okay? So he's not speaking from himself, but he, like Jesus said, I speak the things that I hear the Father say. I do the things that I see the Father doing. God, the Holy Spirit, speaks the things that whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Verse number 14 says this, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So he takes the things from Jesus that Jesus wants to impart to the disciples. The Holy Spirit is the delivery agent, if you will. It says, he takes from what is mine and he declares it to you. What a great guidance system. What a wonderful blessing that we have been given in this relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to tack on one more truth in this concept, and that's back in Psalm 43. We touched on this back in December. Psalm 43, and as soon as I can get my Bible pages to go where they need to go, Psalm 43. O God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. So God here partners light and truth, and it's for the purpose of guidance. It is for the purpose of him leading us. I have retired from the aspect of me trying to tell God what to do. I retired a long time ago from that. I recognize he's God, I'm not. He's the leader, I'm the follower. I want people to follow me as I follow Christ, the same way the Apostle Paul did, but he's the one who leads me. And so I need his light, I need his truth. It should compel me to follow him on a path that he is going to use to lead me. Now, where does God's leadership, where or what is the objective, what is the goal, what is the destination that he has in his leadership? Well, a lot of times we want him to lead us for a specific season, so that we get the result of whatever it is that we are longing for. I want to elevate that a little bit, because if all we have is some temporary feeling, some temporary goal, if once we've achieved that, once we've arrived at that destination, then we may cease from the leadership aspect of God, his word, and his Holy Spirit in leading us. So I want you to see in verse number 3 and in verse number 4 that there are two specific destinations that the Holy Spirit, or that the Word, God wants to light up our pathway with his truth so that we get there. First of all, let them bring me to your holy hill. Now, I want to put this in two frames of context. It goes on and says, and to your tabernacle. You and I should be led by God into fellowship with local believers at a Bible-preaching church where we can benefit from the grace of God that has been exhibited in both of our lives. It is not either or. I tell you, my life is better because of the saints at Merit Assembly of God that have experienced the grace of God. Their testimonies, their faithfulness, their generosity, their compassion, their willingness to serve wherever, whenever, however, it's amazing. I think that Merit Assembly of God is one of the best kept secrets in Brevard County, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor. I think the people are better than the pastor. They're amazing. It's not a competition, but I'm awed by them. A-W-E-D. Okay, so there should be leadership and guidance by the Holy Spirit into worshiping in a local church environment. It should be normal. That's how we found a church when we moved to Brevard County over 30 years ago. We did not have a church already lined up. We went and we visited. But our prayer was, God, where do you want us to serve since you have brought us here? And we were down in Melbourne at the time, and the church that we thought we wouldn't end up at was the church we ended up at, because that's where God led us to. Little did we know that our faithfulness there would set us up for the Holy Spirit leading us to Merit Assembly of God. We thought Merit Assembly of God was going to be a step in the rung of the journey, step on the journey, and we thought, well, when we're done here, we'll God will lead us someplace else, and we've been there for a long time now. God will lead you to a local church. Beyond that, he also wants to lead us to his tabernacle in heaven. Heaven is the goal. Heaven is not the punishment. Known a lot of dear friends, a lot of saints that have passed away in the past few years. My mother passed away in the past few years. And I refuse to feel sorry for her. If anything, I'm a little jealous of her. I'm using that term because my goal is to get to heaven, where I can worship with the assembly of the saints from all generations, from all tribes, all tongues, and all nations. That's where the Holy Spirit ultimately wants to lead us. If I could throw one third destination there, it's in verse number 4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And that is, the Holy Spirit will lead you into not only the house of God or the, you know, heaven where we're going to encounter God. He's going to lead us to the altar where we can pray. He's going to lead you in your communication with God, where it is not a monologue, where you are just using your words all the time, but instead, God has a way of being able to speak to you as well. And he said, when you lead me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle, when your Holy Spirit guides me, when your word guides me, when your light guides me, when your truth guides me, I'm also going to find this destination, that God is my exceeding joy. Exceeding is one of those words that when I think of it, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. I think of another word in the New Testament where God does not just want us to abound, but the Greek word is that he wants us to super abound. That's pretty good. You know, there's abounding and then there's super abounding. And that's really good. I mean, I don't want my marriage to survive. I want it to super survive. You know, I want it to be a role model marriage. That's really what I want. And so I want a super bad. Well, here's what we find, that when we come to church, when we come into the fellowship of the saints, when we go into our prayer closet, that we find an authentic, genuine encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell our church that when you have had a supernatural encounter with God, it will ruin you for the routine or the mundane. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be satisfied unless you are having an encounter with God. Church is not a civic club. It is not a lecture hall. It is the house of God, and we've come to meet the God of the house. And when you do, you're going to find that God is a lot different than what the world thinks. The world thinks that, you know, God is just this miserable old man that is up there like Father Time at the end of a year, just, you know, tired and worn out and angry and frustrated and all that sort of stuff. And that is, nothing could be further than from the truth. The truth of the matter is this: you will discover when the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you that God is your exceeding joy. Be a joy-filled Christian, not just out of an emotional predisposition, but because you have encountered the living God, the lover of your soul. Encounter Him. If you're miserable all the time, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you back into that destination, guide you into all truth, where you discover once again the joy of your salvation. Now, one of the threats for David that deprived him of the joy of his salvation was sin. If you've got sin in your life, the Holy Spirit's guide back to joy will look like this. You need to repent of that sin, ask Jesus to forgive you, and he will restore the joy of your salvation. May you have a joy-filled Wednesday here in beautiful Brevard County, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Great is your faithfulness. You never change, you never fail, oh God. True are your promises, true are your promises. You never change.